A63, number 19B.
Yes. Now we come to the fourth column, the Lord's Prayer, with its spiritual interpretation. And we see again that the Lord's Prayer has eight statements. The first seven statements are showing the word order from mind to love. The eighth statement, the biblical, not the biblical writers, but the authorities think that that has been added, that it is an adding, and that it is just a summing up of the Lord's Prayer. So that we can actually consider the first seven statements as symbolizing the word order. Now, what is now the general tone, the dominant that flows through it? It's the word of signs, yes, that's a very nice symbol. What does it mean?
Okay, it's presenting it, the creativity, the creative sense in a systematic way.
In a systematic way. Wouldn't you feel that the others have also shown an ordered way at least?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But it's presenting the system order.
Does it present a system or just an order? What is the difference between an order and a system? Perhaps we could take up that. Is it a system when you have just a sequence of something?
No.
Huh? That's all, a sequence, that's a line, huh? Yeah. Yeah. You would have to have many sequences and then show how they are interrelated. Hmm? You must have many categories and the interrelation of categories. Then you get to a system. Yes. So here we can't say that the Lord's Prayer gives us a system. It only gives really, again, the word order. But you said from the point of view of science. Now what is the point of view of science, Frank? The isness of it, huh? Yes, the scientific fact of it. Yes, because would you say that commandments were also presenting facts? There were demands. You see, that's something else. Huh? And so the Beatitudes too. They didn't just present facts. Huh? They presented the interplay of demand and supply. The interplay of form of consciousness and demonstration that flows from the consciousness. Huh? Consciousness and experience from the consciousness, that wonderful interplay that we experience, that's what we have in consciousness, you see. Whereas here, now, we get something quite different. We are now just seeing the scientific facts about these seven steps. So it's a much purer or more clearer or higher sense than the other ones. So let's take the first statement. We can't say the first prayer because it's only one prayer, the Lord's Prayer, so we always have to make this roundabout statement, the first statement of the Lord's Prayer. Sometimes we just say, what is the first prayer, the second prayer, and third prayer, just knowing that we don't mean there are many prayers but statements in the prayer. What is the first? Yeah. And Mrs. Eddy's interpretation, naturally. Yeah.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Yeah. Now, why should this represent mind, and you have Father who is life, and Mother who is love, huh? And harmony, which is principle. The creative mind, yes. Yes. Our Father, Yes, which is in heaven. Yeah. It's interesting to see that even always Mrs. Eddy in her exegesis always helps us, so to say, to explain the biblical text, which is not always so clear. What is the father-mother?
Jesus, father's mother. Let's give him the idea of parent,
a parent's
mother.
Yes, yes. So you have the parent mind, that's what you really want to say, the creative God, not the creative father. But it's more than the father, because you could see, actually, we should have father-mother. Isn't it interesting that usually she always explains the father as father-mother? Have you some kind of idea why she did that? Why she didn't like so much just talk about father, but she always takes in father-mother? Does it make any difference, really? What difference does it make?
The father is in his.
In which way?
It would be lacking the love qualities that you get in the seventh grade. So you just have a fifth.
Yes?
You wouldn't have a true sense of complete parenthood.
Yes? Uh-huh. Yes? So you just have a sense, it wouldn't have a complete parent. Huh? That's fine. You know, I'm awful, I know, you know. I always dig further and further, huh? Because I really want to see, you know, the practical consciousness that is implied with it. Not just saying, well, in order to produce a child, you must have a father and you must have a mother, or else it doesn't happen, and therefore both are necessary. These are naturally very spiritual symbols, and Jesus usually only called God my Father, as the source of all creation, as the source that always gives supply and infinite supply, infinite life. So his accent on the 5,000-year period was very much on the Father. But Mrs. Eddy came and changed that a little bit. And she certainly didn't just change it by saying, well, you also must have a mother, or else you can't have children, or you must also have a loving sense. Mrs. Eddy would also call the loving father, the loving sense of the father. Isn't there something more about mother, but just the loving sense of a mother? I mean, what is a loving sense of a mother? I would like to know what you feel if you say the loving sense of a mother. What kind of a loving sense? What does that mean, really? Come on, your mothers.
Gives only the best.
Gives only the best, huh? Yeah?
You also see the complete person and what they can do in the future.
What they can do in the future, yes.
Complete,
yeah, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, Michael. Now the man comes. Come on.
No matter what the child does, the mother always is the mother. And it never gives up on the child.
Never gives up on the child. Yes, she always stays the mother, huh? The mother remains the mother, huh? The father may run away. I think there's much more in it, you see. I think why Mrs. Eddy did that was to show, you see, here he has the father as the creator, really as mind, huh? So at the point of mind, huh? As the creator. But she would see that in the creator is already programmed into its fulfillment. That's the mother. Huh? See, that we have really here what modern scientists call goal causality. Causality is the father, and the goal that is programmed into it is the mother, which says everything that starts in being from the divine person, the father-mother, everything that is called into being has within itself the seed of fulfillment, has within itself already the whole plan of fulfillment. That's why it is science, huh? That it is right from the beginning factual. Huh? Doesn't say it takes a long time to go through the step in order to come at the point of fulfillment. Father-mother is a terrific sense that we can entertain, which I forget just about father and forget about mother, huh, in a human sense, and just see it's that pair of mind which says, when God starts something, when mind starts something, it only starts at something because it already knows the whole law fulfillment that in it and has programmed into that cause already the law of creativity that leads to the point of absolute completion and fulfillment and perfection. That's the father-mother. Or else, you see, that's why I feel religion has missed so much out. They always were praying to God the Father, huh? Our Father in heaven. And I have a Father in heaven. You listen to religious people and their prayer and their hopes and so on. Well, the Heavenly Father will care for us. Hmm? It's always the Heavenly Father will care for us. They always consider him as a caring for us, a supplier, as the source of life, giving and giving. But they never have a sense of mother in it. They never have a sense that this, what the Father will do, that he can't help but fulfill it, and therefore they doubt it. They doubt the Father's loving kindness. They are not quite sure what's coming. They feel he can supply, but they still have a sense, I wonder if it's going to fulfill itself. This is absolutely new period. You see, I think it is a consciousness that the 7,000 year period will have to work on, which we'll have to adapt that sense, not only that God is a father and a creator, but much more that sense that God is mother, namely that right from the beginning everything is already at the point of fulfillment, either as a state of things or as a law of fulfillment, but it is never doubting that things will come out right. So here we have that scientific fact right at the beginning of the parent mind, which Mrs. Eddy calls then the parent mind, in order to put it just into one term. So our Father, which is in heaven, that's the biblical expression, to put him right into heaven and to distinguish him from the human Father. Mrs. Eddy really defines that Father as our Father, Mother, God, and that heaven she defines as all harmonious. Yes. So the allness of mind in its harmony, the allness of mind in its harmony is here shown as Father and Mother, as Creator and the fulfillment of that Creator. You know, these are states of consciousness. And I wish we could culture that state of consciousness much more as a present state of consciousness. I think you agree with me how different the world would look like, how different our lives would look like if we could constantly go through life just with that point. Our not just the father mother, it's our. It has to do with us. Our father mother, our source of being, which is at the point of already being fulfilled, is a present harmony. It's an all harmonious realm. Do we have that sense? We haven't, huh? That's what makes me mad. Huh? That one sees that it could be so simple, and one always falls away from it. We can see that the whole thing is completely simple, because one can see that nothing really prevents us. Nothing really prevents us from having that new state of consciousness. Because a state of consciousness, you can change. You can have a new paradigm from one day to the other. And so, instead of thinking that we are from our father the devil, or from our father who is my father at home, we can see, oh no, there is a higher father, that father which is in heaven, and then see that that father is not only the father who constantly gives every good, but also the mother who sees that everything that's going on is already a plan that works in perfection, and therefore is all harmony. Why don't we accept that? The next moment we fall away from it. That makes me mad. Huh? It may make you mad too. Not to be consistent. See, everything is a question of being consistent. We know the idea. Huh? I have seen now the idea. The idea has now been presented through Mrs. Eddy's work. If we study it, the intelligence, we see the idea. Now, how on earth can we be consistent in that consciousness? It's simple. We know it. It's simple. If we are consistent, we have it. Yes. So at least we are awake to that fact, and therefore what we always can do is to lean back, so to say, and say, now, what is really happening? What it is all about? What is now the principle of the universe? What is the universe? What's going on in the universe? And we could always, in a quiet moment, sit back and say, don't worry, old boy, don't worry always. You have a wrong sense that you think something can go wrong. There can be a source of evil. There can be a source of erroneous action, of erroneous manifestation. Don't worry, it's not true. There is only one source, the Father in heaven. He gives only you the best and best, and to the whole universe the best. And not only that, he is also the mother. He will see to it that he cares for it, tends it, protects it, so that nothing can touch it, nothing can happen to that perfect creation. And it's a creation where you are already at the state of all harmony. So why worry? Why worry, old boy? Huh? Isn't it terrific? Yes. So that's why we need so much quiet hours. We don't need so much hours for study. We need to study the letter, but then imbibe the spirit. What we need is more hours to be quiet, to shut the book, to shut the notes, and sit back and say, now, what have we got? That's the beauty of a science, that you don't have to know a lot. You only have to know a few fundamentals, the seven and the four and the four, and see how they are interrelated, and that's not very much, and sit back and contemplate it and praise it and worship it and stand in awe before it. We need those quiet hours. They are the hours where the letter becomes the spirit. So take enough time for quiet, not for quiet study. That is also necessary. We must, when we study, we must be quiet. We must be alone with God and His being. But then what is necessary? Ponder it. Contemplate it. Worship it. Stand in awe before it. Value it. See the impact of it. See the implication of it. See the vast implication of it. See the promise in it. Live off the promise of the whole thing. That is what Mary could do. That's why she was able to bring forth Jesus. That's why Elizabeth couldn't bring forth Jesus, only John the Baptist. Mary was considering it in all his heart. She pondered it in his heart. That's where things happen. Yeah. So, yes, that's the biggest step we have to take. Well, how can you say the biggest? I mean, every step is important, but it's I would say if we don't take that step, we miss the boat. See? We always must see that every new idea, every big idea has always dangers. It isn't so that if an idea is bigger that it has less danger. No, it always has more danger. The further Mrs. Eddy went, the more she was under attack, the more she was, had to defend her idea. Therefore, we must watch those dangers and see that the further we go, we have this danger. Now, if we come out of religion into science, which is a higher idea, positively a higher idea, don't think that the dangers are less, they are more. There are more. And one of the great dangers, as you would say, is this, that we make science an intellectual study. That's the great danger. It must start out with an intellectual study, because it's intellectual, but it is also spiritual. Therefore, one without the other is not complete. Therefore, the great danger is that an intelligent student is so fascinated with the system that he gives too much attention to get the system and no attention to close the books and ponder it and give hours and hours. And why do you think it's so difficult? Because it is much easier to sit over a book and over notes and to make notes, because the notes tell you what to think, along which line to think. They tell you. The moment we close them and you are alone with God and with the reality of your being, then do you know what to think? And you know very well that when you do that and you say, now I want to be at one with God and the reality of things, now I want to go and praise my being to have that mind which is the mind of God, that I have the same mind that is God. And you do that for 20 seconds, and you remember that you forgot to put out the light in the kitchen, and then you come back, and then you start all over again. And you say, now, let's start all over again. What is mind and mind? And then you go to spirit and say, yes, that's the only thing I should do. But didn't my husband say that he's coming home late, and that I have to make it's true. It takes an enormous culturing until everything within us is at peace. Blessed are the peacemaker. Till everything within us is so at peace that there are no arguments coming up while we are pondering. Can you ponder for an hour or two without that something else interferes with your thought? I don't think so. I don't think so. But that's the point. See? That's the point. And that needs to be cultured. That needs to be cultured just like anything else. See? And that's what naturally the mystics try to do. They train themselves over years and years and years to be so empty in their consciousness that no other thought enters into them. And they feel that if they arrive at that point where no other thought, where no human thought, no human argument can enter in, that they are therefore so empty that no worldly thought enters in, they feel that would be the point of the crucial point of what you call the experience. Yes, it's the nirvana. Where you have the high experience, huh? Where you experience the high experience, that's when you suddenly, the peak experience, huh? then you have the peak experience. And therefore, when you watch them and in the eastern zone, you can see that very many spend their whole life and don't get there. It isn't so easy. Now, for us, it should be easy, because we have a line of reasoning. We have a line of what to think about. We have a line of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We can begin to blend mind with mind, mind with spirit, mind with soul. We can go along the line of Word, Christ, Christianity. You see, we have a kind of a grid in which our consciousness can be filled with the signs of it without being detracted. And therefore it should be much easier for us, but we have to train that too. Because we live in a world where everything happens and suddenly you are in the middle of a treatment and you wonder, doesn't the skylight fall on my head tomorrow or something like that? Huh? Mm-hmm. So, this is a culture, yeah? A true culture.
That's why we have to go on to the next line of the Lord's Prayer.
The next line of the Lord's Prayer, exactly. Huh? Yes. And you see also why this is a prayer, this sevenfold presentation is a prayerful attitude. It's no more like the commandments, now I have to do something about it, I have to obey, and so on. It's no more so much in the Beatitudes, well, if I keep up a certain kind of an attitude, then I will get something. Here, really, you go into the silence of your own consciousness and shut out everything and say, now, what have I left when I chuck out the whole world? What is left? My Father, Mother, God, all harmonious. And you feel already this is a prayerful attitude.